Today's daf is Yuma daf Samach, and we are on the bottom line of Nun Tesam Beis, and we are in the sugya of Naasis Mitzvaso. A couple of points on yesterday's Amid Beis that we didn't get to mention, and that is the Mishnah that we're talking about on Nun Tesam Beis mentioned that the last part of the avoda of the dam, if you could call it the last part of the avoda, or its post avoda, is Shvicha Shirayin, that we take the leftover blood that. After part three of the Hazaos, after we do what we have to do on the Mizbeach Hazav, we bring it out and we pour it down the hole on the southwest of the Mizbeach. So that was discussed at the end of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah discussed whether there is Mi'ilah when it comes to Dam. And the Gemara said clearly yesterday that on a Daraisa level there is no Mi'ilah based on one of three psukim. We're going to talk about today, Be'ez Hashem, and the Gemara, why do you need three different psukim? But there are three psukim that teach us that there is no Isser of Me'ilah. 2 points on that, and that is, number one, it's fascinating that if you look in the Gemara in Brachas, it's not Lamed Aleph. The Gemara there quotes the halacha that we know, that we're not supposed to be involved in other activities right before we daven. We're not supposed to have our mind on other activities. We're not supposed to be at work, we're not supposed to be this. We're just to be focused on davening for a minute or two. We're not chassidim rishonim, but have shah achas, but at least a little bit. We're supposed to be focused. And the Gemara even says, we're not supposed to even delve into Gemara bi'iyun right before we daven. We're supposed to learn maybe basic, clear-cut halacha that nobody has any sveikus about, just something straightforward. And then you could go daven. For example, what? What are halacha psukas that we could focus on before we daven? So we would have thought, some halacha in Arachayim, some basic halachas. The Gemara quotes three examples. What is the example of halacha psuka? So the Gemara quotes one from Kachim, one from Taurus, and one from Zroim. If you would have guessed Moed, Nashim, or Dezikin, no. Got three examples, all from the Siddurim that maybe we wouldn't have chosen. But maybe it's Bedavka, it has to be psuka to us. So one of the examples is the Rabbi Zeira, but Os Yisrael Hechmir al Atzmam, as we discussed before, but Os Yisrael were Machmir, Shafila Rose Tibastam Kachardol, Yosheveslav Shivanakiyim, Rabbi Zeira, Halacha Psuka, any blood, Bizman Hazeb, we treat like a Zava Gadola. Number one, that's Rabbi Zeira, that's Taurus. And Rava says, oh, Raboshia, Ma'arim Adam al Tfu Aso, Umachnisa Bemot Shalav. If somebody wants to get out of the Chiv of Chumas and Maisros, so then one could bring it in, bring the grain in, not having finished Gemar Malacha yet, not having finished processing, and in that way not have a chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros. Okay, another, probably not in our top 10 that we would have chosen as halacha psukas, but that's the Gemara. Then the third one is the case that Tosas brought up yesterday. Hamekis daba behemas kachim, osur bahana umalin ba. That's one of the halacha psukas that we discussed yesterday, that if somebody bloodlets an animal and wants to heal the animal, that is the kavana, right? There is an issa d'oraisa of giving a mum to a karban. Being matal mum b'karban, that's an issa d'oraisa. Even ayde grama, the Gemara says, that's an issa d'oraisa. So for example, that's where the kohanim are chashudim on putting a mum in their bechor, because if they have a bechor, it's a karban. If it gets a mum, then it's chulin. So they are chashud in terms of putting mum in on their bechor, because they used to put little pieces of dough behind the ears of their animals and put the animal into the stable with all the other animals. And mamela, other animals will come and nibble off the cookie and then nibble the ear as well. Ah, it has a mum. What can I do? I guess it's chulin. So kohanim are chashudim to do that. But that's in terms, so you see, even on the grama, that would violate the Issa d'Oraisa. That's that example. But either way, that is the case of Matil, Mekiz Dam B'Kachim, that Tosas brought up yesterday, that we dealt with, is one of the three halacha psukas that is brought up in the beginning of the fifth parak in Brachos, that if we learn that before we daven, it's okay. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we discussed that, so Baruch Hashem, it was, we were Mekayim that halacha, those who davened afterwards. Number one. Number two, the other point to mention is the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah. Whenever Me'ilah comes up, it's important to remember the last halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah, which is the last Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sefer Avodah. The last halacha of every Sefer of the Rambam, of all 14 books, generally has some hashkafic secret that the Rambam wants to impart to us from, based on something in the Sefer. So the Rambam here discusses Me'ilah. Ra'ui la adam lehispo, he makes a kavachomer from Me'ilah. Ra'ui la adam lehisponein b'mishpatei HaTorah, HaKadosha, v'lei dasof inyanim kifi kocho. It's appropriate for a person to understand and to study the Torah as deep as one can. V'davar shalo yimsa lo tam, v'lo yeda lo eila. And if we come to a dead end, if we're researching something and we can't figure out why, at the end of the day, al yehe kal be'enav. It should not be light in my eyes. It doesn't make sense to me, so I'm going to lessen my commitment to it. Va'al yaros la'alos el Hashem, pen yifrotzbo, quoting from next week's parsha. We shouldn't try to go up the mountain of Harsinai without appropriate borders. V'lo tehe machshavaso bo kamachshavaso b'shar divrei achol. We shouldn't think about Torah topics as we do other topics in life. Bo re'e kama hechmira Torah b'me'ila. How chomer the Torah discusses me'ila. Meaning, uma im eitzim va'avanim va'afar va'efer. If dirt and stones and wood and ashes, kivan shenikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem, if you sanctified any of these inanimate objects, but just by words, by name, bidvarim belvad, niskachu, I say about this table, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, all of a sudden this table achieves a certain status. V'chol anoig bohen minag chol ma'al b'ashem. And if I sanctify something and then I use it, so then I violate an issa d'araisa of me'ila. V'yafilo hayashogig sar kapara, and even by accident, I would need kapara. So if an inanimate object, a physical item that belongs to the world, gashmi, I have the ability to label it and uplift it, and then me'ila, I would violate if I benefit kal v'chomer, le'mitzvos, shechokak lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surely mitzvos, which are totally spiritual to begin with, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and I didn't create, shelo yivat adam bahen, mebnei shelo yada ta'amon, that I should not be bo'et, I shouldn't reject them because I don't understand them, v'lo yechaped dvarim asher lo kein, al Hashem v'lo yechashim em achshavaso b'devrei chol. And then the Rambam talks about that it's the chukim and mishpatim, and we have to realize, so it's all mitzvahs or a kal v'chomer for me'ila. If I could take a totally physical item and sanctify it, so surely something that is sanctified to begin with, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surely I have to treat appropriately. And even if I don't understand something, I have to make sure that I look at it in the proper way. And the Yetzer Hara tries to tell us, no, we don't want to do it, even on a Drabbanan level. You're on a Drabbanan level, right? Even the Drabbanans that people don't understand are hardest for them to fulfill. How does this apply anymore? The reason doesn't apply anymore. Why should I have to do this? But we have to realize, even the Mitzvahs Drabbanan, there are chok elements to them. And even if we don't like the reason, the Vilna Gaon says there's 100 reasons for every din d'rabbanan. We only know one or two of them. But even if we would know the reason, still, the law still applies. V'umot al meshivan aleihem, what are the examples he gives? The Rambam gives certain examples of chukim. The Rambam says, basar chazir, basar b'chalav, para aduma, si'ir ha-mishtaleach, right, our inyana diyoma, we're going to talk a lot more about that, and egla arufa. Rambam throws that in too. The ceremony that has to be performed when an anonymous corpse is found in between two cities. And then he says, "V'kama haya David HaMelech mitztayer min aminim v'hagoyim shayim meshivin al achukim." David HaMelech had such pain when people used to make fun of him and the mitzvos that didn't make sense to them. The kolzman shahayu rotvin oso b'tshuvas hasheker sha'orchim lefi kotzer das ha'adam haya most of dveikus b'Torah. He went the other way. Says, you make fun of them, and I'm going to go close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ila. We have to realize that. Karbanos are a major part of this as well. That's why this is in Me'ila. And therefore, we have to realize that Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Avodah Karbanos Ha'olam Omeid, Sheba'asiyas Achukim HaMishpatim, Zochen HaYishram L'chayi Olam Abba. The Rambam continues. But anyway, that's a very defining Rambam in the end of Sefer Avodah. Okay, let's get back to our our discussion. So the Gemara said at the end, after the Gemara mentioned that we compare the status of Dam before and after Kapara, and the Gemara said, just like after Kapara, there is no longer any Mi'ila, after I do this Rika, so too before. So the Gemara said, why don't you do the opposite? Excuse me, why don't you do the opposite way that just like before there's Mi'ila, afterwards there's Mi'ila, maybe it's forever? Says the Gemara, can't be. You never have something that is na'asis mitzvaso, that has fulfilled its purpose, and you still have me'ila. It's not exactly the same idea, but this line is similar to the halakhic distinction between tashmishei kedusha and tashmishei mitzvah. The Brisa tells us in Maseches Megillah that there are certain items that have to be buried after they are used, and certain items that don't have to be buried. right, a lulav, a sukkah, a shofar, those types of items do not have to be buried. Tzitzis, a talis, those have to be a me'ikar adin that can be put into a bag and disposed of properly. But mezuzah, and say for Torah, and tefillin, and anything, abizrayu of those items, the tefillin bag, and the Torah cover, v'chulu, those all have to be buried. So, similar idea is the concept of na'asis mitzvaso. Because by those items of lulav and shofar, why are those allowed to be discarded? They don't have to be buried. Because na'asis mitzvaso. Once I have already fulfilled the mitzvah with those items, it's not sukkahs anymore. I use the lulav. Why are you allowed to make esrog jelly out of the esrog? Right? Why are you allowed to use the esrog for besamim? You're using it for a different mitzvah. You're getting physical, many people put the cloves into the esrog and use it for besamim. Why am I allowed to do that? I'm getting personal pleasure from a mitzvah. The answer is it's no longer a mitzvah. It was used for a mitzvah, but it doesn't have inherent kedusha that stays forever. It's not like a Torah or a mezuzah bag v'chulu, because by all the other items of mitzvah, so that's nasa mitzvaso. And just like there's no mi'ila in the world of karbanos, there's no mar kedusha in the world of mitzvos, and therefore I am allowed to use them. That is unlike Torah and mezuzah, anything connected to stam, that has inherent kedusha and that stays forever. That's similar to a kli shareis. That's similar to an item of the Beis HaMikdash that has inherent kedusha, that is kedusha never leaves. Kedusha's haguf. And then it stays forever, just like certain chefsa shal mitzvos relating to the ksav of Torah, that also stays forever, and there is me'ila by it, so to speak. Good. We continue. Says the Gemara, the low, last line, is this really true? There is never something that you have fulfilled the mitzvah, and yet there is me'ila by it. There's never a violation of that principle. V'harei tshuvas hadeshen. What about tshuvas hadeshen? The mitzvah every single morning in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen goes up, and remember we had a big discussion earlier in our Masechta. Is the tshuvas hadeshen on Yom Kippur done by the Kohen Gadol to all the Avodas? Remember, we had the big discussion in the Ritva and Daf Yud Beis. What Avodas have to be done by the Kohen Gadol and what not? The Baal Amor, who said that the Baalei Pizmonim, who wrote our Tfilos, made a mistake because we didn't have all the Payasos on Yom Kippur, and the Ramban vehemently argued. That was a discussion we had back in the second parak. So, says the Gemara, Tshumas Hadeshen. What's the halacha by Tshuvas Hadeshen? I go up to the Mizbeach, I take some ashes, I go down the side of the ramp, I make a left, and I make another left, and I put it on the floor there, and Vesamo eats the Mizbeach, and I put it down. Vesamo, we darshan that it's still Asr Bahana. There's still an Asr Meili, even though I'm finished. Hotsa'as Hadeshen, taking it out when there's so much on the Mizbeach, that, if you remember, is a machlokas Rashi Rambam, whether that's an obligation every day, or just based on need. Do you have to do that every day? Take out the deshen, michutz l'machane, or no? The mitzvah in the beginning of tzav is trumas hadeshen. Lift it and put it down. And remember we said, al derech neis, the trumas hadeshen got absorbed into the ground, right, at that spot. And we discussed at the end of the first parak, why isn't that on the list of the nisin that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. But trumas hadeshen is every day, so you see there's still an isser after you put it down. Ay nasis mitzvah, so you finish with it. Vahari trumas hadeshen. Says the Gemara, no. Mishum da'avi trumas hadeshen u'bigdei kahuna, shneksu v'nabon ke'echad. V'chol shneksu v'nabon ke'echad, ein malamdin. Really, trumas hadeshen is not the only exception. There's another exception to the rule, and that is bigdei kahuna. As we know, the Kohen Gadol, after he finishes working on Yom Kippur with his big day lavan, he must remove them and bury them. And nobody's allowed to use them. Well, we're going to see in a minute. This is really a machlokas tanoim. But according to at least one opinion, he's allowed to use them again. That's it. So why not? Na'asis mitzvaso. So why can't he use them next Yom Kippur? Or why can't a Kohen Hedyot use them? The big day lavan. The big day zahav were not buried every year. They didn't make a new tzitz every year. And a new choshen, and ephod, and me'il. Those stayed throughout. Those are the big day zahav. But the big day lavan, we learn from the halacha that the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to use them once, even if he's one of those Kohanim Gadolim that made it to the next Yom Kippur. The few that worked more than one Yom Kippur, so he's not allowed to wear it to the next Yom Kippur. So you have to bury them. So again, nasis mitzvaso, but it's still asur bahana. So there are two exceptions. So that's the rule. If there are two exceptions, why does the Torah have to say two exceptions? Just say one exception. The fact that there are two exceptions, it must mean that you cannot model any other halacha based on these two. And that's why the Torah went out of its way to say it by the two. That's shnei ksuvin, abon ke'echad, ein malamdim. We cannot learn from there. Trumas hadeshen, if you remember, as we have discussed, is a very unique avoda. It's the first avoda that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's connected to yesterday's avoda. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary on Chumash, says this is the transition. This avoda serves two purposes. Number one, its purpose is, you have to make sure when you wake up every morning, don't be dragged down by the difficulties of yesterday. Yesterday you had a tough day. Yesterday, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world that this morning, every 24 hours is another morning. He could have created the world that there's a morning only every 365 days. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world like that. Or even longer, right? Just look in at the North Pole, right? We have, sometimes in the winter, the sun, it's dark, or in the summer, you can go months without a morning. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world, but he didn't. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a new beginning every morning and not to be pulled down and weighed down by what we did yesterday. So what do we do the first thing? Take off the ashes from yesterday. Today's a new day. New carbon, number one. But on the other hand, says Rav Hirsch, just the opposite. You can't totally start off afresh and not realize where you've come from, build on our mistakes, build on our past, and that's where the first avodah of today has to do with something I did yesterday. The Truma Tzedeshin serves the dual function as both of those elements. It would give the idea as the introduction to the service of the day that today brings no new mission. It has only to carry out ever afresh the mission that yesterday too was to accomplish. The very last Jewish grandchild stands there before God with the same mission of life that his first ancestors bore. And every day adds to all his solutions of the task given to all generations of the house of Israel. And it continues. It serves opposite functions, says Rav Hirsch. And one other, which we haven't quoted in a while, that is the Rabbeinu Bachya in Chovas HaLevavos, also discusses the Trumas HaDeshen in Shar HaKniya. The different Sharim, the Shar HaBitachon, and Shar HaYotzer Yichud HaMaisa. In Shar HaKniya, he says, ten elements that an Anav has to learn. 10 elements that we have to learn to be an ultimate Anav, to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of them is, we have to remember the message of the Trumas HaDeshen. What does that mean? Vahashvi, number 7 on the list. We're not going to read all of them. If you want to look it up, in Shara Kaniya Perak Vav, lists off all 10 elements that we have to remember to be modest in our way of life. Vahashvi, sheyire lebnei adam hakaniya. You have to show people that you are lowering yourself, ourselves, in front of God. V'yaniach hagavhus l'chvod abore. V'yazov hagdula v'hayakar v'hazihirus al nafsho beishu osel elokim yisbarach. Realize, if Hashem asks you to do something, don't be embarrassed. We do it whatever it is. Right, the first tour in Arachayim. We're not to be embarrassed when we're doing mitzvahs. When it comes to chumris and going above and beyond, then we have to take into account what other people are thinking. 100%. And if there's a risk factor, a downside, then it could be that the chumra is inappropriate. But when it comes to a mitzvah, we can't be embarrassed when we're doing an achiyah mitzvah. Bein levado, bein betoch mikalos b'nei adam. Kemo she'amar, v'herimis adeshen, v'chaibu habori lahotzi es adeshen b'chol yom tamid, lehishafel ulahasir agabus milibo. Go carry the ashes outside. Go take out the garbage. Go take it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do this the first avoda. And what do we learn? Remember in the beginning of the second parak, the Kohanim used to think that nobody would want to do this. They didn't have a goral. But then Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, that the Kohanim realized that the Kohanim want to do this too. They have this message. Then it happened to be that they were fighting over it. Maybe they lost the message. That's what he says here. What else does he quote? Ukamoze Amar B'David HaMelech. Right, David HaMelech, when he's dancing in front of the Aron, he doesn't care what everybody else is thinking. His wife gets upset at him. How are you doing this? His wife, the daughter of Shaul, Michal Bashaul. What are you doing? You're sweating. You're rolling up your sleeves in front of the Am. David HaMelech says, yeah, but I'm not embarrassed. I do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. He says, Sheyaspiklo misibas. Vateres HaMelech David mefazezu mecharkel lefnei Hashem. V'sharo inyan says, Me'asher tiyo nafsho nimbez avinikla be'inav. He says he's mechanic himself, and he does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. So that's an added element of the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, we can another point, but let's just finish a little bit more, and then we'll discuss. So what is the makar for Eidav and Nasim Misfaso Moal and Boat? Well, you have two items that are Nasim Misfaso, and there is Meila. So the makar is that you cannot apply that to anywhere else. Everything else, generally, we know there is no mi'ila. Where in the Torah specifically? Well, by the others, it's a raya by omission. It doesn't say you have to bury anything else. There's an isser. But actively, there is these two makaros. The fact that there are these two, that's the principle of ein melamdin. Says the Gemara, hanicha l'rabbanan da'amri v'hinicham sham. According to the Rabbanan, who say that big day kahuna cannot be used again, the big day kohen gadol, then fine. Then it's shnei k'suvin, melamed she'tu'uni geniza. So you know that they require geniza, and you have shnei k'suvin. Elo l'rabbi dosa da'amar, big day kahuna, re'u yinhein l'kohen hedyod ma'ika l'meimar. But according to Rabbi Dosa, who we've had already in this pesachta, who says no, the begadim of the kohen gadol can only not be used by him for another Yom Kippur. But a kohen hedyod, if it fits him, remember the begadim have to fit perfectly, midovad, so they have to fit perfectly, so if it fits him, so then Michael Amemar, so he's allowed to use it, so then that's not an example of Nasis Mitzvaso with an Isser. So we're back to the question. There's only one example, so there's one example. Why can you use that as a model for everything else? That even after Nasis Mitzvaso, there's still Me'ila. So Gemara says there's another one. Mishum Dahave Truma Sadeshen the Egla Arufa. Shnei k'suvin avon ke'echad. Shurma Zadash and Egla Arufa are two psukim that both teach it. V'shechol shnei k'suvin avon ke'echad ein melamdin. So Egla Arufa is another one. It says there that one is not allowed to get benefit from the Egla that we do the ceremony with in the Nachal Eisan. So those are two. Shnei k'suvin avon ke'echad ein melamdin. Says the Gemara, okay, so you have two sources. Hani chalamanda amar ein melamdin. So that works. If you hold that sheet of two psukim are exceptions, and therefore it must not be a model. Elamand amar melamdin, but there's a daya out there that says you need three psukim for ein melamdin. Two are not good enough. So ma'ikal amemar. Then we're back to the question: why don't you say elsewhere that even after nasas mitzvaso there's still mi'ila? So Gemara says trei mi'ute ksivi. You're right. We're not dealing here with models, because in each of these contexts there is a word that is a exclusionary word. To teach me, don't apply this din anywhere else. Visamo, that's by Truma Sadashen, place it and nothing else, has this halacha. Ha arufa, the arufa, halacha is applied to this arufa and not to other areas of halacha. By the way, Egla Rufa, which is Asr Bahana, one is not allowed to get any benefit from it. We do learn something from there, even though it's an exception to the rule. The Isser Hana Min Hames. It's one of the sources for Isser Hana Min Hames comes from Egla Rufa, based on Xera Shava, with Sham Sham. But that is it is a halacha that we learn. Let's finish up, and then we'll make a couple of other comments. Says the Gemara Vahani Tlasi Krai Bedam Lamali. Getting back to yesterday, Amid Beis, why do we need three different psukim to tell me that Dam is not subject to Me'ila? Three different psukim. So you don't need three to tell me that halacha. So the Gemara says, really is excluding other halachas as well. Chalim ute minosar. One to exclude it from nosar, meaning if somebody eats nosar blood, somebody want to eat blood, so then they are not violating nosar. They're only violating blood. Right, nosar is a separate issa daraisa. V'chalim ute mi mi'ila, as we said. V'chalim ute mi tuma. And also tuma is not included if somebody has tuma saguf and he eats it, so he is not bakares for eating that. Aval mi pigol lo tzarach lamute kra. You don't need a pasuk to exclude pigol. Pigol, nosar, and tami always go together. Those three psulim many times. So the Gemara just says parenthetically that even though you need two psukim to exclude nosar and tami, you don't need a pasuk to exclude pigol because that's based on a svara. Remember pigol. If I think in an earlier part of the avoda that I'm going to do a later part of the avoda shelo bismano, I think during shchita that I'm going to eat the edible parts of the karbon in 3 days from now, even if I never do. But I just think that. Or I think during Shechita that I'm going to be Maktir, or I'm going to be Zorik, Shalob Ismano. Shalob Imkomo, that's called Pasol, and there's no Karis for that. But Shalob Ismano, if I think in the appropriate time, that is Pigol, that labels the carbon right now, and there's a Chi of Karis, as long as the rest of the Avod is done properly. And as we have mentioned, there Pigol gets a lot of press time in Shas. Many, many Dafim in Zvachim and Menachas. It's up there in the top couple of sugis and shas in terms of quantity. Hotza'a and pigol are two of the major quantitative you know, dafim, if we add them all up in those mesechlers. So pickle is one. So pickle doesn't need a pasuk to exclude, though, from dam. Why? Because there's a rule by pickle. Disan, the Mishnah says in Zvachim, pickle is only by something that becomes matired by something else. Something else matirs it. That's the rule by pickle. So, as we'll see this in a minute, let's read it first. It's on kol sheyesh lo matirin, anything that has something else that allows it to perform. Bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach. Whether for a person, meaning something else allows you to eat it, or la'mizbeach, something else allows you to burn it, so then chayav ala mishum pigel. So that's when pigel works. So for example, meat. The meat, so if the blood is sprinkled, so then I can eat the meat. Or if the blood is sprinkled, then I could burn the fats on the mizbeach. That's why by meat and fats, there is pigel. But dam, there is no pigel by. Why? Nothing allows you to do the zrika. The zrika itself is a matir. Right? That doesn't have something else. It's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Right? Used in this context. V'dam asma matiru. So that's a svara. Why there's no pigel by dam. That's the rule by pigel. It has to have something else that another activity. Another item that then allows you to either burn it or eat it or fulfill its function. But if it itself is a matir, like the Rashi always quotes the others, komets and a couple of other items that are matir in themselves, so those would not be subject to pigel.
What about the prior avodos, particularly when it's
a
Kabbalah?
I'm saying so the prior avodos, so that you can create pigel during those avodos.
I'm saying with respect to the blood.
No, you cannot. The blood is not subject to pigel. Because I don't think the Gemara looks at it. It's not that shechita is matir the zrika, halachically. You have to do shechita in order to get to zrika. But halachically, that's not called a matir. You have to go through the avodah, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, before you get to zrika. But halachically, it's not that you need to do this avodah in order to do that avodah halachically. It's only practically.
If
it falls on the floor, then you didn't do you again. You have to do this avoda before you do zrika. That's true. But halachically, there isn't this direct link between if you do this, so now this becomes allowed by kabbalah and zrika. I would say if you do this, now it's possible.
If
it falls on the floor, you didn't do it.
I'm saying
so. Possible means that there's a special din. What is Kabbalah defined as? As we had earlier in the Masechta, Kabbalah is defined as min hapar yekablenu.
Right.
That's the definition of Kabbalah.
Right.
And only after a Kabbalah is it possible. I understand what you're trying to ask. You're trying to say, isn't it? So the Gemara, the assumption is that it's only a practical requirement before the Zrika and not a halachic requirement. That's what the Gemara has to view it as. By shechita, if you during shechita, you could be mefagel the carbon later on. Yeah, shechita, you could be mefagel during, but it doesn't make the dam subject to pigel. You can mefagel the meat, and you can be mefagel the chelav. You cannot be mefagel the dam. Okay, a couple of other points related to on top. The Tosfos Yeshanim asks here why, if you look in the bottom in the second column. He says, V'im Tomar, the third line on the left side, says, Maishna demoalin bedishun mizbeach apanimi v'ha minora afsha achar shenasu efer kodem dishun. He says, if you look in the ashes of the menorah, for example, there's me'ila there even after it becomes ashes. V'ilu gabi k'tores, but by k'tores we said, mishatala timraso imolin bo. Right when the Torah starts burning, there's no longer Me'ila. So ask the Tosfos Yeshanim. We have ashes on a couple of the Kalim. Oh, we have ashes on the Mizbeach, Hazav, we have ashes on the Menorah. So by all of those other ones, there's Me'ila even after it becomes ashes. Until once you remove it, then there's no more Me'ila. Mashenki, by the Torah, right when it starts burning, no longer any Me'ila. Why not? So he gives two interesting, very interesting answers. V'yesh lamar, number line four. Number one, shebereach ein bo me'ila, shelo nitna Torah l'malachei asharis, she'i'efsher shelo yenu mimenu, b'chafina u'bepitum u'balacha b'ktara. The ktara smells unbelievably, as we have learned. So imagine the Kohen Gadol walking to the Kodesh Kodashim with the ktaras. So even before it starts burning, he's going to smell it a little bit. And right when he starts burning in the Kodesh Kodashim, remember he has to wait till it fills up? So he's going to smell it. So Lunina Torah Malachi Asharis, you can't say that there's going to be Me'ila there once it starts burning, because he's going to have to get Hana'a. And therefore, That's why there is no Hana'ah number one. V'rabanu d'gazerbei v'chu. Number two, Inami. Inami says, Reach ein bo mamish. Kamo kol umara. Wow. The Gemara says elsewhere, kol mara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila. There is no full me'ila by hearing, by sound, if I love the singing of the Levium, even though I'm doing it for all personal benefit, or it's a gorgeous view. I go to the Beis HaMikdash just to get a personal gorgeous view, not because any spiritual upliftment. Right? So, those two, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, kol and mara are more tangible than reach. And those two are more serious. Here, reach, just a smell, so there's not going to be me'ila by that. So that's interesting, because we know, we do make a bracha on smell. It is tangible enough that it goes into our bodies, and we make a bracha. We know the Ramban writes in Maseches Brachos that you don't make a bracha on every hana. After a long day and we fall into bed, and it feels amazing, we don't make a bracha on that. We don't make a bracha if I'm really hot and the wind starts blowing and it cools me off. I don't make a bracha on that. Says the Ramban in Maseches Brachos that you only make a bracha on something that is a pleasure that is imbibed. Something that goes inside of me. Eating, drinking, smelling. Those three. So smelling goes inside. It's tangible enough that Chazal or Misakin a bracha on it. Right? Boremine Besamim. Not only Friday night. Whenever I have it, whenever I smell. So it is tangible enough. But the Tosfos Yeshanim here says it's not as tangible as in terms of Me'ila for Kol and Mara. There is, though, just to quote one source, and that is the Tzlach. The Tzlach in Brachas points out that there are two sources given in the sixth parak for Brachas on Hana'ah. The first daf, Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara says, what's the makkah for Birchas Hanenin? Well, one pasuk says, Lashem Arutz Meloah, the world belongs to God. And the other pasuk in Halal says, V'yaros HaSal Avnei Adam, the land was given to us. Is it ours? Is it God's? So Gemara says, Kan Lefnei Abracha, Kan La'achar Abracha. Before you make a bracha, it belongs to Hashem. After I make a bracha, then it belongs to me. Meaning that's the matir. That is what allows me to make the bracha. The language of the Yerushalmi there is that the bracha is the pidyon. It's the redemption. It's a very graphic formulation of what a bracha is. It's like when I have something kadosh, and I change the kedusha onto money, and now this becomes chulin. That's what a bracha does. The food is kadosh, belongs to Hashem, and when I make the bracha, I'm poda it, and now it's chulin, and now I'm allowed to benefit. So that's the Gemara at the beginning of the sixth parak. Wonderful. The problem is, ask the Noda Bihuda in the Tzlach, that on Daf Mem Gimel, we have another pasuk quoted. Says the Gemara, Minayin Shemavarchan al Areach. How do I know that you make a bracha on smell? Kol Haneshama Tahalelka. Every soul praises you. What type of benefit goes straight to the soul and not the body? Smell. That's the Gemara. Yes, the Tzlach. We already have a makar at the beginning of the parak. Any pleasure? Faris Hassan Levnei Adam and Hashem Aratim Lo. What do you have to quote another pasuk for? Need another pasuk for. So says the Tzlach. Venire, mishum, because I learned earlier, kai malon, kol umar v'areach ein by mishum me'ila, because, as the Tosfos Yeshanim was just alluding to the Gemara in Pesachim, that there is no full-fledged Isser d'oraisa of me'ila with a karbon when it comes to kol umar v'areach, when it comes to smell, because it's not so tangible, lakach, sha'al, that's why Chazal said, well, maybe you don't even make a brach on it if it's so not tangible. So you shouldn't make a bracha. Shohem okom lomar, shekivan shafilu b'kachi shemayim mamish, ein bohem mi'ila min ha-Torah, raki surah d'rabanan, lo tiknu bracha al zeh. I would have thought maybe there's no mi'ila. By birchas hanenin, kamash malon, that's why you need the extra pasuk to teach me that you still make a birchas hanenin even on reach. So the shayla is, how do you understand the maskana? Is the maskana saying, no, it's tangible enough, and that's why you make a bracha, and really it's a regular, normal birchas hanenin? Or do we say, even the maskana, once you learn it, but it's still a different type of Berchas Hanenin. So again, with this Tosfos Yeshanim in mind here, it's a different type of Berchas Hanenin. It's a different smell, it's a different type of pleasure than any other benefit, and therefore, yes, we make a bracha on it, but we have to realize that's a hana that's nichnas l'neshama. That goes straight to the neshama, and therefore, it merits its own source in Shas. Okay, there's more, but we will now continue. Says the Mishnah, Kol Maisa Yom HaKippurim. So remember, we have finished now, Baruch Hashem. We have finished the Avodos Pnim. And now we're going to talk in general about Avodos, then we're going to have to continue the rest of the Avoda. There is one Avoda that we haven't done yet. in Pnim, we haven't taken out the Kafa Namachta yet. That it's still left in there. Remember from we've discussed in the past why he didn't take it out earlier, but it's still in there. Still in there. We're gonna have to get that out soon. But says the Mishnah, Kol Ma'isa Yom Kippurim Ha'amur Al Haseder, all the Ma'isa of Yom Kippur that's done in order. Im Hikta Ma'isa L'Chaveiro Lo Asa Klum. If it went out of order, so then Lo Asa Klum, it is pasul, meaning it doesn't count, and you're gonna have to redo something, as we'll see. Hikdim Dam Ha'par L'Dam Asoi L'Dam Ha'par. Where the Dam Ha'par has to go first. What if you did this Dama Sa'ir first? Yachzer v'yazem idama Sa'ir lachar Dama Par. If I did the Dama Sa'ir first, I didn't ruin it. I did the Dama Par, so do the Dama Sa'ir again afterwards. And forget the first Dama Sa'ir. So you went out of order, it's okay. V'im ad shelo gomeras ha-matono shebifnim nishpach adam. But if, before I finished everything, the blood spilled out, yavi Dama Cher v'yachzer b'tchila mi-bifnim, I gotta start that section again. I have to start that section again. If it's spilled out in the middle, I have to start the section again. V'chein v'heichol, v'chein mizveach hazav. By all three sections, each one is a unit. So if it spills out in the middle, I have to start that section again. Shekulan kapar b'fnei atzman. They are all one unit. Kapar b'fnei atzman. And therefore, if one set is finished, then that's all you have to do. Rashi says, Leficha kapara shenigmara, nigmara. If you finish one set, you don't have to go back and do that other set. Every set is its own entity, and you don't have to go back. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon omrim, mimachem shepasak misham u'maschil. No, even in the middle. The blood spilled out, just pick up from where you left off. You don't even have to look at it as a whole unit. Just start from the middle. Bez Hashem, we'll see in the Gemara what exactly is the root of this machlokas. The Bir Halacha. You wouldn't think we'd have a Bir Halacha on this Mishnah. The Bir Halacha writes in Simin Samach Dalin, where the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to read Kriya Shema in order. But the Gemara says in Brachas, Mishnah says, HaKorei L'Mafrei Lo Yatza. You can't read Kriya Shema out of order. So what does that mean, out of order? There's a Rashi in Brachas that's very difficult. All the other Rishonim argue on Rashi. Rashi, you know what out of order means? Uvisharecha Mizuzas Al. You read the words backwards. All the Rishonim say, of course that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. No, the Gemara is telling me even the Psukim out of order is not allowed. If you say the words backwards, it's meaningless. So it's Sarachin a little bit on that Rashi. That's what Lamafreya means. But we paskin that even Psukim out of order is no good. So says the Bir Halacha, right here, the beginning of Simon Samach Dalin. What if you got confused and you said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Oved, V'hayu Adram Ha'il Asher Anochim Sav Chayim Al Olecha, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, you skip the Pasuk. So says the Bir Halacha, you could just go back to the previous one and continue straight. Why? Based on the Mishnah right here, in Yuma Daf Samach, Hikta Damat Par L'Dam HaSayir, right? If you do it, so you just go back and you go straight. That's what he says. Im kara pasik vayu advarim after beisa kriya kara achar vayu advarim v'kol makom achshav hukasidron v'rayim iyuma daf samach b'mishnah. So he quotes our mishnah lahalacha, just doing it in order. Related to this, today's chashuke chemed, today's dose of chashuke chemed, he discusses the what happens. Reuven is in the hospital and he tells Shimon, here's 1,000 shekel and I want you to please give out stucker for me, and it's going to be Purim, and follow, he says, please follow the Mishnah, Maseches Harios, in terms of the order of stucker. First give Talmud Chacham, the order, what does he call it, Talmud Chacham, and then a Kohen, and then a Levi, follow the order, and he goes out of order. He goes out, the first guy that comes is not the one who's supposed to be first, he gives him, and he's like, uh-oh, I messed up. So what does he do? He's Mizaka from his own money to the person who told him to do it, and then he starts going in order. And the question is that okay? Reuven says that he messed up, he went out of order. So he says, no, I went in order, I was mezakeh you. So he discusses that, not as halacha lemaisa, in terms of our examples, but that's his shot based on the Bir Halacha here and the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Kol Ma'isa Yom Kippurim, Ha'amar Al Haseder, Imikta Ma'isa L'Chaver Al Asa Klum. So again, if you go out of order, then it is meaningless. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. So now we have a machlokas that we've referred to earlier. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Emasai. When do I say that doing something out of order is a problem? Bitvarim hanasim bibigdei lavim mibifnim. If you're inside the Kodesh Kodashim, that's when it's a problem. What does pnim mean? Rashi says, as I just said, Kodesh Kodashim. If you look at the Rambam says Heichol is called pnim. Heichol is also called pnim. Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Reb Chaim points this out, that there's a difference between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says Kodesh Kodashim, and the Rambam says Heichol. Reb Chaim, though, notes that it's only Heichol having to do with the hazos of the paroches. That's what's called panim. But Mizbeach Hazov, even for the Rambam, is not called panim. If you read the Rambam closely. So that's a machlokas, Rashi Rambam, but not as far as we might have thought. So, when do we say that as if it's out of order?
Does that indicate that the paroches has some of the kedusha?
Right, I'm not sure if it has some of the kedusha, or it's just our border, our yachas to it. I don't think you have to say that the Rambam is taking a stand there. You can, but I don't think you have to say that. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, when do we say that the order makes a difference? Only Pnim. Aval Dvar Manasim Bigdei Lavan Mibachutz, but anything that has to do with outside, even if it's in Bigdei Lavan, Im Hikdem Ma'aseh L'Chaver Masha Asa Asi. What you did, it's okay. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, no. Bamed Dvar Manasim Bigdei Lavan, Bei Mibifnim Bei Mibachutz. The order makes a difference, anything Bigdei Lavan. The difference is Big Day Zav versus Big Day Lavan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'shnei mikra echad darshu. They both learn it from the same pasuk. V'aisal zos lachem v'chukas olam achas bashana. Once a year. So, what is that achas referring to? Rabbi Yehuda savar makom shemiskaprin bo pamachas bashana. So, did in the makom. And therefore, everything in Pnim, so that is ma'akev, the order. Anything outside of that makom, then it's not. Rabbi Nechemya savar dvarim hamiskaprim bo pamachas bashana. No, dvarim, meaning not the makom, but dvarim, meaning anything that you are doing once a year in your big day lavan. Says the Gemara, Atul Rabbi Yehuda makom ksiv. It doesn't say makom. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that achas is referring to the makom, that it's a dafka did in the pnim? Say, Allah, I had no time at Rabbi Yehuda. Really, this is the source for Rabbi Yehuda. Ksiv zos, the ksiv achas. Those are both exclusionary words. This once. Chad lemute big de lavan mi bachutz. One is to exclude big de lavan mi bachutz, that the order is nama akev. Chad lemute big de zahav. So he uses both of those words to exclude those avodos that are, the order is na ma'akev. V'Rebbe Nechemya, who says the order is ma'akev, anything bifnim, anything in Bigdei Lavan, chalemute Bigdei Zahav, v'chalemute shirayim delo ma'akvi, and one excludes the shirayim that are not ma'akev. The Shvicha Shirayim, which we started off today's discussion with. What does that last line mean? Again, Machlokas Rashi and other Rishonim. Rashi says, second skinny line, Lemute Shirayim, that the order is not Ma'akev. If you don't do Shvicha Shirayim last, it's okay. All the other Rishonim say, what? Even if you don't do Shvicha Shirayim at all, it's kosher. Why is Rashi giving off the impression that if you don't do Shvicha Shirayim in order, that it's okay? Mashmah, you have to do Shvicha Shirayim. So the Ritva, the Tosfos Yeshayim, everybody argues on Rashi. Says no, even the Shvicha Shirayim, the Gemara, this line means the Shvicha Shirayim bichlal na ma'akev. The Tosfos Harash defends Rashi and says, well, maybe Rashi is looking at it. You're right, the Shvicha Shirayim of the Karbanos Chitzonios, that's not ma'akev. But maybe Rashi doesn't want to go a whole step down. There, Bachut, it's not ma'akev at all. So here, you're going to go one step down. So you say, the order is on Ma'akev, and the whole Avodah is on Ma'akev? So maybe that's why Rashi says, the Shvicha Shirayim of the Avodah's Pnim is Ma'akev. It's just that the order is not Ma'akev. Kiva, the kill Shirayim Chitzonim, delo Ma'akvi klal, mukmina chada mi'uta l'shirayim pnimiyim, delo Ma'akev kisidran. Avagab, de inu kufayim Ma'akvi. He says, Rashi goes down one step, and not two. Vaiter. V'reb Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says back, no, you don't need a makar to say that's ma'akev. Why? In ma'akvi, ma'akvi, v'lo ma'akvi, lo ma'akvi. Why should Shvicha Shirayim be any different than any other avoda? That you need a separate exclusion, that the order is not so important there. No, all the avodos are treated equally. Kidatanya, as the Brisa says, v'chila mikapar es hakodesh, once you finish doing the kapara, im kipar kila, v'im lo kipar lo kila, divrei Rabbi Akiva. If you did the kapara, if you fulfilled everything you have to do, then you could say the avodah has been finished. But if you didn't, you didn't. Rabbi Akiva, Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says something that sounds very similar, and the Gemara will talk about the difference. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, Mipnei Ma Lo Nomar, why don't you, Rabbi Akiva, learn it in the way that the psukim go. Im kila, it says the word kila is used earlier in the pasuk. Im kila kiper, vim lo kila lo kiper. If you finish, then you achieve kapara. If you don't finish, then you don't achieve kapara. Shim chizra achas mina matanos lo asav lo klum. If you're missing something, then lo asav lo klum. You didn't accomplish anything. V'yamrina mai binayu. What's the difference between these two deis? It sounds very similar. Im kila lo kiper, im kiper lo kila. So the first opinion is Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Chad Amar Mashmas Darshan Iki Binayu. There's no difference. Just a question: how to darshan the psukim? Number one, the Chad Amar Shirayim Ma'akve Iki Binayu. No, the other one holds that Shirayim being Ma'akev, that is the in terms of having them is the difference. Rabbi Akiva holds Shirayim are not Ma'akev, and there Rabbi Akiva says as long as you've done the kapara, that's it, you finished. Even if you didn't do Shvicha Shirayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you did everything, meaning including Shvicha Shirayim, then it works. If not, not. Period. Well, mi amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That it is not Ma'akev? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Tana Rabbi Nechemya, Kedivri Yom Shirayim Ma'akvi. Right, regarding, Rashi quotes, regarding Hakrava Bachutz, even Rabbi Nechemya says it's Ma'akev, a sugim from Masechah Zvachim. So Kasha, the stira within Rabbi Yochanan is unanswered. Period. So either way, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Which avodos are ma'akiv? Do you go by the begadim or do you go by the makam? Just one other section because we have to end off with a unbelievable ha'ara. Amar Rabbi Chanina, ketores shachafna kodem shchitaso shapar. As we learned, if you remember, the avodos, he does the hagrola. Then he goes back to the par, he shechs the par, he goes in and he does the zrikas. Then he comes out and he's going to do the chafina and the ktores. So ktores shachafna kodem shchita so shapar. I'm sorry. He does the shchita of the par, and then he does the ktores, and then he comes back to the person sprinkling the blood who's being mamaris. So the ktores comes first, but the chafina is done after the shchita. What if you did it earlier? What if you did the chafina before the shchita? Lo asav lo klum. So it doesn't count for anything. Keman delok Rabbi Yehuda. What is this against Rabbi Yehuda? Di Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar kiksiva chuka b'dvar manaseh b'bigdei lovan b'fnimu d'ksiva. Is this against Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that it says chok only by the bigdei lovan mi'bifnim items. Right? And this is done b'chutz. So is this against Rabbi Yehuda? The statement of Rabbi Chanina? So the Gemara says no. Afilo teima Rabbi Yehuda tzorech pnim kipnim dami. Rabbi Yehuda could agree that even something that is physically outside, if it is a lead-in to what's inside, so that's considered pnim. We'll have to talk, B'Hashem, the first thing tomorrow, about what does it mean, a lead-in to pnim, lumdus-wise. But even before we get to there, the Sharm Tzion Balacha points out, why here does it say, when you do the ktores before the shchita, lo asa v'lo klum, nothing. While in the Mishnah, when it says you went out of order, it just says, lo asa klum. It doesn't say lo asa vilo klum. Unbelievable ha'ara. What's the difference between the lashonas? So he quotes a ramami panu. Right, gotta get Bekiyas. Bekiyas, ramami panu yomi. So he said the ramami panu quotes that whenever the Gemara says lo asa vilo klum, that double lashon, it means you haven't done anything. You didn't do a mitzvah and you didn't do an aveira. You've accomplished nothing. Lo asa vilo klum. If it just says lo asa klum, you didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, but you could have done something wrong. So, in our Mishnah, you did, what did you do? You were mocked in the Dama Sa, the Dama Par. So you didn't accomplish anything. But you had to be a Rekanis. You went into the Kodesh Kadashim for nothing then. You went out of order. So you did something wrong. That's why it just says lo asa klum. You didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, but you didn't Avera. Here is lo asa velo klum, why? So you did the Chafina outside. So what did you do wrong? Nothing. So you picked up Torahs for no reason, and it was meaningless. That's why it says lo asa velo klum. A little diet between lo asa klum and lo asa velo klum right here. He points out that Rama mi panu. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Beth Hashem, we'll continue. Three lines from the bottom, but we'll have to first start with what does it mean? Sorach pnim ki pnim dami. That'll be Beth Hashem what we start off with tomorrow as we continue on the last full blot tomorrow in here in this fifth parak on Maseches Yom. Okay, we'll stop here.